Not sure. Su'ulo opened up the chrono on his datapad and twittered something. He says we slept 10 hours, Han translated. I guess we needed it. Kira got to her feet, noticing that both Han and Su'ulo were back in their old clothes. Still threadbare and dingy, but clean and fragrant.
We'll step outside and give you some privacy, Han said. Your clothes are folded there.
He indicated the foot of her bed. A moment later, she was alone in the bunk room. She tore off the white tunic and donned her leggings and skirt, her red top and beige jacket. The skirt's color was ruined. It was still sturdy, still functional, but the deep, pure black of its youth was gone, replaced by streaks of white and gray and a badly bleached hem. Someone had even sewn up the spot she had torn, although it didn't look quite right. Everything else was in decent shape. The top had turned out especially nice. Whoever had laundered it managed to remove almost all the stains without fading the color. Maybe they'd injected a little dye. Whatever the case, Kira was grateful. The others were waiting outside.
Took you long enough, Han snapped.
Kira stared at him. Han was impulsive and insensitive, but he was never purposely rude to her. He seemed to realize it, because he suddenly appeared sheepish.
Sorry, he mumbled, running a hand through his hair. It's just I'm so hungry I could eat a raw scree rat.
Ew, Kira said, though she could sympathize. She expected to be led to the galley. Instead, Jenra's assistant escorted them back to the viewing lounge. The engineer herself was stretched across the divan, ankles elegantly crossed as she sipped a glass of wine. But Kira hardly noticed, because the air was thick with the scents of butter pastries and meat pies, steamed vegetables and fruit cider, and a dozen things she couldn't identify because she had never, ever in her short life, smelled so many types of food. Her mouth filled with saliva, and she looked around, maybe a little too desperately. There, the bar. Platters were laid out along the metal counter.
Help yourself, Jenra said, waving them toward it all.
As one, they raced forward. Han grabbed an entire meat pie in his hands and bit off a huge chunk.
Ow! He said around a mouthful. It's still too hot.
He kept chewing anyway. Su'ulo grabbed a delicate fork and speared a long, tube-shaped object. It was covered in some kind of gravy, and it wobbled on his fork. He slurped it down, then chattered happily at them.
Gross, Han said. Su'ulo says they're called dreebies, a kind of slug. It's a Rhodian delicacy.
In any other circumstance, Kira would have found that disgusting, but she was busy slapping butter onto a fluffy warm biscuit. She shoved it in her mouth, letting the flavor coat her tongue. She could almost weep. After gulping down the biscuit, she tipped the pitcher of ice-cold fruit cider to her lips and downed fully half of it without taking a breath.
You know, the engineer said in an amused voice, I had the staff set out some fine dinnerware and utensils for you, but I guess that works too.
The three of them stopped mid-gulp to stare at each other. We look like desperate sewer kids who've never had a decent meal in their lives, Kira thought. But then she shrugged it off and grabbed a poached egg dripping in cream sauce. A few bites later, Kira began to feel sick. She wasn't used to rich food, or any food, really. She set down the piece of cake she was eating and started to wipe her mouth with the back of her hand. Then she thought better of it, grabbed a cloth napkin instead, and dabbed daintily. Kira folded the napkin and set it down. When she looked up, she discovered the engineer staring at her.
If you're finished eating, she said, come and join me.
She patted the lounge chair beside her. Kira obeyed. Han and Su'ulo paused eating long enough to watch her walk toward Jenra and settle herself in the chair.
I think I might be sick, Han announced to no one in particular.
Su'ulo nodded enthusiastically, then noisily slurped down another dreepy slug.
Ugh. Kira had definitely eaten too much, too fast. She wasn't feeling so good herself.
So, she said, turning all her attention to the engineer, so as not to be reminded of food, especially Dreeby's. Did the data cube check out? Jenra took a sip of wine and said,
There was a small amount of degradation, but I was able to recover it. We found a strange residue inside. During the course of your adventures, did the cube by chance become submerged in liquid?
No sense denying it. We swam through an underground cistern while being chased by white worms.
My technician suggested that the liquids were more like digestive enzymes.
Kira smiled and tried very hard not to look at Saulo or Han, even when Saulo loudly slurped down another slug. The water underground has a lot of contaminants, she offered.
It sounds like you've had an interesting few days.
If by interesting you mean terrifying,
tell me all about it.
Kira pressed her mouth shut. She was so used to keeping secrets. Telling the engineer what they'd been through went against years of habit. But she couldn't think of a good reason to keep anything from her. Kira glanced over at Han and Saulo, still nibbling at the bar. Han shrugged as if to say, Sure, tell her. So Kira started at the beginning, with the assignment from Lady Proxima, the Kaldana representative becoming violent when the droid Gotra won the bid, the flight through the sewers with Han, and then with Han and Saulo. Han wiped his mouth on his sleeve and jumped in to fill in details from his perspective. The meeting in the foundry, the attack by the Kaldana, his own escape. Kira picked up the story again with their brief respite at her safe house, although she was careful not to describe it in too much detail. Saulo explained the part about stealing his brother Rizo's speeder, with Han translating. And then Kira finished up with the fake race through the streets of Corellia, and their conversation with a badly damaged droid named Tool.
Then we had to escape from the foundry, Kira said.
That's where this happened, Han said, pointing to his burned face.
Kira said,
And where your pet stormtroopers gave us your holoprojector.
Saulo finished eating slugs and joined them, taking up the seat opposite Kira.
You're the boy with the data pad, Jenra said. The one I gave coordinates to.
Saulo nodded.
We couldn't have made it here without Saulo, Kira said.
I think they wouldn't have made it here without you, Jenra said,
leaning forward, gazing at Kira intently. The attention made her uncomfortable.
I guess.
Tell me how you retrieved my Wookiee.
That was easy, Kira said. We had resources thanks to you.
Still, you walked right in and out with him.
How?
Han said,
Oh, we brazened it out. Well, mostly Kira. She's good at that.
The engineer leaned back on her divan and tapped a finger to her lip, considering them. She wore a sparkling red gown this time, with sculpted shoulder pads that rose into vicious points above her head. Her shoes seemed made of glass, with a wedge heel that added a hand span of height. Kira couldn't imagine dressing that way. You never knew when you had to run for your life, much less get through a doorway.
You've all proven remarkably resourceful, she said. Especially you, Kira.
Kira narrowed her eyes, instantly suspicious. Han had saved them more than once with his intuition. Saulo had come through for them with his mechanical skills. She wasn't deserving of praise any more than they were.
I had good people with me, Kira said. We made a great team.
And she meant every word.
I suppose you're right, Jenra said.
What about you? Han asked. How did you get away from the Empire?
Well, it took years of careful planning, she said. Of cultivating assets. Keeping my head down and my ears open. I spent 2 decades sending money to an untraceable account on an outer rim planet. Small amounts, so I wouldn't attract attention.
Saulo blurted a question.
He wants to know how old you are, Han said.
Jenra smiled.
Old enough to be your grandmother. My species is long-lived compared to humans. I was already an old woman by your accounting by the time I acquired my Wookiee and my ship.
Han looked away, frowning. Something about that last sentence had bothered him, though Kira didn't know what. She asked, "How did you end up with this incredible yacht? I guess the Empire pays well."
"The Empire does pay fairly well, but not that well."
Then Kira stopped herself. She'd once heard that rich people considered it gauche to discuss money, which was totally impractical. It was the thing everyone needed most. Why wouldn't you discuss it?
"I had to get creative," Jenra said.
Kira had no idea what that meant, but Han said,
"You mean by selling Imperial secrets, for instance?"
She smiled.
"For instance."
So she'd been doing this sort of thing for a while. "But there's no going back this time," Kira observed. "This time you're leaving the Empire, making a run for it."
"Yes."
Han's eyes were wide, his lips slightly parted.
"You can go anywhere," he breathed. "With a ship like this."
He gazed out at the myriad stars.
"The whole galaxy is at your fingertips."
Jenra sipped her wine.
"Would you like to have your own ship someday?"
Han gave her a disgusted look.
"How's somebody like me going to get his own ship?"
She shrugged.
"You never know."
"Well, I have a speeder," Han said, almost defiantly. "I've been tinkering. It's not a starship, but it's going to be great."
Jenra nodded, as though she were agreeing with him.
"I guess there's nothing wrong with small ambitions."
Kira couldn't stop herself from jumping to Han's defense. "Han is an incredible pilot. A decent mechanic, too. He learns fast, and he already knows several languages. I can easily see him flying around the galaxy with his own ship someday."
Han stared at her. She stared back. There was a question in his eyes, but she couldn't tell what he was asking. It made Kira uncomfortable, so she blurted,
"Jenra, I bet you've been from one end of the galaxy to the other. I bet you've seen everything."
Jenra swung her long legs over the edge of the divan and sat up straight. She put her empty wine glass on the side table and placed her hands in her lap. Her fingernails were short, her fingertips thick with calluses, her bare forearms corded with muscle. Jenra was certainly elegant and rich, but she also worked hard. She'd probably been working hard for decades.
"I've seen a lot, yes. My employment with the Empire took me all over, to all sorts of worlds. Investigating technology, trying to find applications for it. That's my title, by the way, Senior Applications Engineer. So, for instance, when we discovered the toxic mushroom on Drashima 3, my staff figured out how to distill it into an anesthetic gas, and then I designed a delivery vehicle, weaponizing it."
"Those gas bomb thingies you gave us," Kira said.
"Yes. My very own design."
"Have you been to Coruscant?" Han asked eagerly. "Su'ulo was born there."
"Lots of times."
Su'ulo sat forward in his seat, and his black eyes widened as he asked Jenra a question.
"He wants to know if you've met any jet eye," Han said.
Then to Su'ulo,
"What's a jet eye?"
"Jedi," Jenra corrected. "I've met a few, but they're all dead now."
Su'ulo sat back, slumping in his seat.
"Huh," said Han, eyeing the Rodian. "Whoever they are, I hope they put up a good fight."
"Not really," said Jenra.
There was only one thing Kira wanted to know. Softly, tentatively, she asked, "What's it going to take?"
"What do you mean, my dear?" Jenra said.
"To feel safe. To survive. To be free of the people chasing you once and for all."
Jenra leaned forward.
"Do you feel safe, Kira?"
"Never."
"You have your answer. I'll try to sell the plans again, and once the deal goes through, I'll disappear. Somewhere on the Outer Rim where even the Empire doesn't touch. I've been planning this a long time, and I have every confidence that things will go as I have foreseen." but I will never let myself feel safe.
Kira noted the slight contradiction. I have every confidence. I will never feel safe. Maybe that was the trick. Be confident, but ever alert.
The next question on the tip of her tongue was, why are you being so nice to us? Why didn't you throw us out of the airlock as soon as you got your cube back?
But the answer came to her, and she kept her mouth shut. Jenra was showing them hospitality because she still needed them. But why? Something that had to do with selling her shield generator plans.
How has that been going? Kira asked, probing. Selling the data cube, I mean.
Oh, fine, she said. We will hopefully have another auction soon.
Hopefully, not definitely.
The Empire's presence on Corellia has definitely grown since you've arrived, Kira pointed out.
Saulo made a noise of agreement.
They tracked you here somehow. I wouldn't be surprised to learn that all the potential buyers are a little gun-shy, Kira went on. Or stalling while they figure out if it would be more beneficial to simply turn you in.
I bet there's a huge price on your head, Han said. More money than I can imagine.
Kira gave him her best be careful look. Han immediately put his hands up and said,
Not that we'd ever turn you in. We're just glad to get out of all this alive.
Jenra studied the three of them in turn, as if considering. After a moment, she said,
I admit, although there has been considerable interest in a second auction for the cube, buyers have been slow to come to the table.
Kira pondered this, and then she smiled.
Uh-oh, said Han.
At Jenra's questioning look, Han explained,
That's Kira's I'm coming up with a plan face.
Oh?
She turned to Kira.
Are you coming up with a plan?
Kira couldn't stop smiling.
Chapter 18 Han had to shake himself loose from the snare of Kira's smile. That smile did funny things to his head. For instance, earlier it had actually made him believe for a moment that he could pilot a starship someday.
Good thing he'd come to his senses fast.
I know you're having trouble finding buyers who will risk the Empire's wrath without betraying you, Kira was saying to the engineer. But I know someone who can find them for you.
Who?
Han prompted.
Saulo let his head fall into his hands. He'd obviously figured it out already.
Lady Proxima!
Han frowned.
Not this again. Kira, I've already told you. She doesn't care about us. She just...
Kira put up a hand to forestall his protests.
Hear me out. If we...
But Jenra said,
Wait. Last time Proxima's bid was the lowest, insultingly low. Does she have any idea what she's doing?
She had no idea what your shield tech was worth, Kira said. But she knows everyone on Corellia.
Han was warming to the idea.
As gangs go, the White Worms are nothing compared to one of the big syndicates, he said. But Kira's right. Lady Proxima knows everyone. The White Worms have deep roots on Corellia. Old roots. Proxima has more influence than money. She has connections.
Saulo said,
And guards.
And guards, Han added. She has a whole army of White Worms, so she can make any meeting location secure. There's no chance of the Kaldana Syndicate showing up and trying to blast their way to a winning bid again.
She can broker the deal for you, Kira said. She can rally buyers, arrange payment and delivery, and keep everything secure. All under the Empire's nose. For a small commission, of course.
Jenra's eyes narrowed.
How much of a commission?
Kira hesitated. Han knew that if she picked a number that was too low, she risked being insulting again. But if she picked a number that was too high, Jenra would never take the deal seriously.
0.5% of the gross sale price.
Jenra raised a single eyebrow. Han did the math in his head. If the engineer received another bid as high as the last one, 1 billion credits,
Then Lady Proxima and the White Worms would come away from the deal with a cool $5 million.
That was more money than Han had ever seen in his life.
You know exactly what Proxima bid the last time, Kira said. So you know that's a loss of money for her. But it's nothing for you. Both of you win.
What's in it for you three? Jenra asked. What do you win?
Han and Kira looked at each other, and understanding passed between them. Su'ulo's face was still in his hands.
We get to go home, Kira said softly. Such as it is.
It's not like we have anywhere else to go, Han said.
People like us don't survive down there without joining a gang or a syndicate, Kira said. Han knew exactly what Kira meant by people like us. People with no family, no friends, no resources.
Proxima saves face, Han added. And she lets us back into the White Worms as heroes who saved the day and made her rich.
Han could tell he sounded as glum as he felt. 2 days before, he would have done anything to go back to the White Worms safely, resume his hard-scrabble life of running errands for Lady Proxima while secretly working on his junker speeder. But now, he stared out the window. The stars looked so different from up here than planetside, where clouds and smog and light pollution made a starry night as rare as a beautiful day. He'd always known in his head that the galaxy was a big place, but now he knew it in his gut, in his very being. There were billions of stars out there, maybe more, and he wanted to see them all.
I suppose it's worth a try, the engineer said at last, and her face was smug.
Han had a feeling she'd gotten exactly what she wanted. Maybe that was why she was being so nice. She needed someone from Corellia to broker the deal. Naturally, Kira had figured it out and taken advantage.
Now we contact Proxima? Han asked.
Jenra stood.
Come with me. My comm room on level 3 is equipped with a holo transceiver.
Su'ulo finally looked up, eyes bright. He didn't want to miss the opportunity to see a new gadget at work. They followed Jenra out of the viewing lounge, down a short corridor to a lift. As they walked, he couldn't help noticing the way Kira was staring straight ahead, her face a mask of frozen perfection. That meant something was bothering her, but no way was she going to let on. Han leaned over and whispered,
"This was a good idea."
"I guess." She frowned thoughtfully. "I mean, thanks." It took a while to coordinate with Lady Proxima. Jenra didn't trust any of the standard Corellian transmission frequencies, so she had to contact the White Worm leader using assets on the ground, then arrange a secure line of communication. All that logistical stuff seemed boring to Han, but Kira and Su'ulo drank it in. Kira for the strategizing, Su'ulo for the tech. Eventually they worked it out, and Han found himself in the comm room with Jenra and his friends, staring at a pedestal. Atop the pedestal was a flat metal circle, studded with what looked like glass coins.
"Projectors," Su'ulo whispered to him.
Jenra opened the console, firing it up. A form buzzed to life on the pedestal before them, glowing blue, hunchbacked with a beakish face and cloudy, wide-spaced eyes. Lady Proxima.
"Han, Kira, Su'ulo, my darling children," she crooned. "It's such a relief to see you all safe and hale."
The holo transceiver displayed the White Worm leader at only 3/4 size, but Han still fought the urge to recoil.
"And you must be the engineer I've heard so much about."
Jenra inclined her head in acknowledgement, but said nothing.
"It's lovely to see you, my lady," Kira answered smoothly, but her hands were clenched tightly before her.
"Mark and his scrum rats, Rebolt and his hounds, they've been all over Coronet City, looking for you, hoping to bring you home safely," Proxima said. "Everyone is just so worried."
"Yeah, we've been worried too," said Han wryly. "Worried we were going to die."
Kira shot him a warning glance.
Well, I don't deny there is much I wish to discuss with you, Proxima said. Regarding that absolute debacle of an assignment, perhaps our eagerness to retrieve you was misinterpreted.
Fat chance of that, but this time Han kept his mouth shut and let Kira take the lead.
Speaking of our assignment, she said, we asked the engineer to contact you for us so that we could complete it.
Lady Proxima blinked, and the fingers of her left hand twitched.
You wish to complete your assignment? She said flatly.
Yes, my lady.
Quickly, Kira sketched out the plan. Han admired the way she did it, adding lots of flattery about Proxima's connections and influence, setting up the next idea, and then dragging her heels just long enough that Proxima would suggest it herself, and think of it as her own. His own style was more direct and on the nose, the way a punch was on the nose.
He could never do things the way Kira did them.
If you bring serious bias to the deal and guarantee their discretion, the engineer will award you a broker's fee, Kira finished.
Lady Proxima's eyes widened. Her fingers were twitching in earnest now.
And how big is the broker's fee?
Based on the largest offer last time, it would be 10 times the amount proffered by the White Worms, Kira said.
Proxima's eyes narrowed and she leaned forward. The faint sound of her clicking came across the hollow projection like a burst of static.
What percent is that?
0.5% of the sale price. Lady Proxima recoiled as if she'd been physically struck by the size of the other bids.
Su'ulo tugged on Kira's sleeve and whispered something in her ear, and Han only caught the words for home and white worms and kill. Han prepared to translate, but Kira must have understood fine because she said,
Su'ulo reminds me, your commission is contingent upon you welcoming us back into the white worms. You must agree that there will be no repercussions for, how long it took to complete our assignment.
Lady Proxima pretended to consider, but Han could tell she was sold.
So that's all. I arrange buyers and let you back into the white worms.
And you have to double our food rations, Han blurted. Not just us, for all the scrum rats. With the money you're about to make, you can afford it easy.
Yes, what Han said, Kira affirmed calmly, although she sent a quick glance and a flicker of a smile his way.
And you, Madame Engineer, Proxima said, you've negotiated with my children and agreed to these terms?
I have, Jenra said. They are exceptional children. You should be proud.
Let's make it 0.6%.
5.5%.
Deal.
Lady Proxima opened her wide beak mouth in what passed for a grin.
I'll get to work right away. Expect me to contact you on this frequency in exactly 1 Corellian day. And Kira, my darling, this had better work. If not, I'll...
We look forward to hearing from you, Jenra said.
She hit a switch, and the projection of Lady Proxima flickered out.
Is she always so horrible?
Horribler, Kira said.
She's the horriblest, Han said.
All in all, I think that went well, the engineer said. Let's hope she comes through.
She will, Han assured her. There's no way she's letting all that money slip her grasp.
Kira wiped her hands on her skirt and took a deep breath.
Were you nervous? Han said.
Maybe a little.
Well, you did great.
Thanks, you too. And thanks, Su'ulo, for suggesting we make our return an official part of the deal.
Su'ulo bleeped happily about the Force being with them.
I guess we have a day to kill, Han said. Can I maybe have that tour of the ship now?
Jenra smiled indulgently.
I'll have my assistant show you around.
Han turned for the door.
If this was his last day on an actual starship, he was going to make the most of it.
Wait, Kira, the engineer said. I'd like a word with you.
They all stopped.
Just Kira, Jenra clarified.
Han had a bad feeling. And Kira did too, judging by her narrow-eyed, cornered rat demeanor.
Whatever you say to me, you can say in front of my...
friends, Kira said.
Jenra shrugged. Very well. I could use another assistant. Someone qualified to be my spokesperson, who will negotiate and entertain on my behalf, on those occasions when it would be best not to show my face. I'm on the run from the Empire, after all.
Kira's lips parted in surprise. Han felt the walls of the comm room closing in around him.
You'll need training, Jenra continued blithely. Definitely some grooming, but I believe you have tremendous potential.
Kira just stared. Su'ulo started jabbering about what a good spokesperson Kira would be.
What's he saying? Jenra asked.
He says Kira would be perfect for the job, Han translated.
And his words sounded far away, as if they were coming from someone else. Why was it suddenly so hot in here? He tugged on his vest, trying to loosen it.
And what do you think, young Han? Jenra asked.
I think...
He could hardly get enough air.
I think Su'ulo's right. Kira can do anything, become anyone. That's just who she is.
High praise indeed, Jenra said.
She turned back to Kira, who hadn't moved, much less said a word. She was like a frozen statue, or maybe a bird poised to take flight.
You remind me of myself, Kira, when I was younger, full of ideas and ambition, but short on opportunity. In another life, on another world, you might have been an engineer like me.
Still, Kira said nothing. Su'ulo's sturdier antenna drooped. Han remembered that he'd hoped to be an engineer himself someday. Jenra pressed on.
You'd never lack for food or nice clothes. You'd see the galaxy. Surely life aboard the Red Nimbus is better than the one waiting for you back in the sewers.
Kira should accept. She'd be stupid not to, right? Finally, she spoke.
What about my friends?
Jenra smiled coldly, in a way that Han thought was really no smile at all.
I don't need 3 more assistants. Just 1.
But what... about...
Oh, my sweet young girl. If you want better things, and I've been watching you, I know you do. You have to make sacrifices. That means leaving friends behind. They have their own futures. No doubt to rise high in the hierarchy of Lady Proxima's little gang. We all take different paths. This is the one laid out before you.
Kira opened her mouth, closed it.
I would have offered it to you privately, Jenra said. But you insisted that I do it in front of your... friends.
Kira looked at Su'ulo, and then Han, as if seeking answers. Or maybe permission. Han pictured it in his mind, going back to the white worms, descending into the sewers, faithfully tinkering on his speeder that didn't even have an engine yet, running errands for Proxima day in and day out, eating rat sludge. All without Kira. After today, he might never see her again. He whirled angrily and headed out the door. He threw the words over his shoulder like weapons.
I'll give you your privacy. I'm sure you have lots to discuss without me. I'll find your assistant myself. Finally, take that tour.
Chapter 19. Kira watched Han leave the viewing lounge, feeling a sickness that had nothing to do with eating too much rich food. Su'ulo twittered something and left a moment later.
That boy really likes you, the engineer said.
Kira shrugged, trying to appear nonchalant.
We've been through a lot together the past few days. Is that why you're hesitant to accept my offer?
Don't let a boy hold you back, Kira.
The galaxy is full of boys, even attractive ones like Han.
I'll keep that in mind.
Are you saying you need time?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Kira wanted to be alone more than anything in the galaxy. She needed to think. The engineer's offer of employment was the most incredible thing that had ever happened to her. But something about it wasn't right. And she couldn't say what.
Well, you only have a day. Then I'm gone.
Kira's shock was wearing off, her survival instinct kicking back in. She realized she needed to say something placating.
I understand, and thank you. It's a very generous offer.
She fled, walked purposefully out of the viewing lounge, and didn't take a breath until the doors slid shut behind her and she was standing in the corridor. Everything she had ever wanted, and more, offered to her on a silver platter. And she had earned it. She had earned this opportunity, not once, but over and over again. So why was she hesitating? The engineer was wrong about one thing. It wasn't because she was interested in a boy. Not that way. But there was something about Han, something that she had learned by watching him these past few days. And she was still trying to figure it out. Is this a gut instinct? She wondered. No, she was pretty sure that the only thing her gut was telling her was that she'd eaten too many buttered biscuits. This was her head trying to tell her something. But it was like listening to Saulo talk. When the words and ideas came too fast, she couldn't keep up. A protocol droid came down the corridor and paused beside her.
Mistress Kira, may I help you find something?
My friends were taking a tour, she said. I would like to join them.
Of course. This way, please.
She found Saulo right where she expected him, hunkered down with the ship's engineers, asking questions at approximately the speed of light. One of the other engineers was a turquoise-colored Rodian, a woman with a broom of emerald green hair. Saulo looked genuinely happy, maybe for the first time since she'd met him. Kira didn't want to disturb him, so she kept on walking. Han was in the cockpit of the ship, sitting in the co-pilot's chair beside the Wookiee, Rue. She could only see the back of Han's head because he was staring out into space like a man ready to go places. He was probably as happy as Saulo. Then Rue said something, and Han turned his head. There was a deep sadness written on his profile. A few days before, she might not have noticed, because it was subtle. A brightness missing from his eyes, shoulders that lacked their usual jauntiness. Like Saulo, he was engaged in an animated discussion. She might understand a little Hatties, but she couldn't pick up a single word of Shriwook. From the amount of Han's gesturing and Rue's head-shaking and nodding, it seemed Han didn't know many words either, but was quickly picking them up. He said something, and Rue tilted his head back, giving a great, barking laugh. That was it. That was why she was thinking about Han. Over the past few days, Han had treated everyone they encountered like a person. Paolo, Saulo, Tool, Rue. Even her. Especially her. She felt like Han looked past the surface things that everyone saw and recognized her as worthy of respect. How did the engineer describe Rue? My most valuable asset. That was the problem. If Kira decided to accept the engineer's offer, she would stop being a person. She would become another asset of greater or lesser value. She fully expected it to be of greater value. But how much value could one assistant have when Genra was getting ready to close a deal for a billion credits? None. She would be as replaceable as a duct rat working in the foundry. On the other hand, if she accepted, she would be so much better off than she was now. She could save some money, even invest. She would have opportunities that she would never have as head for Lady Proxima, or even running her own gang on Corellia. She wouldn't have to stay Genra's assistant forever. She could do it for a while, learn, then go her own way. Her choice was suddenly much clearer. If only her answer were too. Maybe she should ask Han to help her figure things out. But no, he'd been angry and brusque, And anyway, she didn't want to interrupt his conversation. Rue was pointing out controls and showing Han how to use them. She'd seen Han pilot a speeder, and she knew he belonged on a ship like this one. There was no way she would steal this moment from him. Silently, she turned away and went back to their bunk room. When the two boys returned many hours later, she pretended to be asleep. Even after Saulo started snoring, she lay awake in the darkness, making plans. No matter what choice she made, it created different options and opportunities. The possibilities spun out in her head, becoming the glowing blue lines of those plans, heading in endless directions, stunningly beautiful to contemplate. But no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't read them at all. Han was gently shaking her awake. "Come on," he said. "The engineer has summoned us back to the viewing lounge." Kira jumped out of bed. They proceeded to the lounge in unusual silence, lost in their own thoughts. When they entered the lounge, a buffet was spread out just like the previous day, with just as many choices, if not quite as many servings. She didn't have an appetite, and neither did Saulo. Han grabbed a pastry as he passed the bar, but didn't seem to have a lot of enthusiasm for eating it. Genra awaited them. She wore a gown of sapphire blue this time, and her hair was unbound, framing her face like a huge dark halo.
"I've spoken with Lady Proxima," she said as they entered.
"Is the auction going forward?" Kira asked.
"It already has. You were right about her contacts and her ability to move swiftly. Proxima was true to her word. There were four buyers this time, two of whom you are already familiar with."
"The droid Gatra and the Kaldana Syndicate," Han said.
"Indeed. The Gatra stuck with their original bid, 1 billion credits. But this time, the Kaldana offered 1.1 billion.
Han whistled. Kira quickly calculated Lady Proxima's percentage. 6,050,000 credits. The old woman was rich beyond her greediest dreams, thanks to Kira, Han, and Saulo.
"So the Kaldana Syndicate wins," Kira said.
Han was probably unhappy about that. He had a soft spot for that droid friend of his.
"Sure enough," Han said. "You could give the cube to the droid Gatra anyway."
Genra blinked.
"Why would I do that?"
"For a good cause. The Kaldana will use your technology to terrorize neighboring systems. No one will be safe."
"I care nothing for causes. That extra 100 million credits will go a long way."
"Surely there's more to it than just money," Kira asked.
"Of course," Genra said. "What I really want is freedom, to explore the galaxy, or to settle down somewhere on the Outer Rim. I want to create my designs in peace and sell them to whomever I choose. But here's the thing, sweet girl. Money is freedom."
Saulo chattered at them, and Han translated.
"He says giving it to the droids is the right thing to do. It's what the Force would want."
That made no sense to Kira. "Are you saying the Force is some kind of god?" Saulo shook his head, muttering in frustration.
"Not exactly," Han said. "And actually, he's changing his mind. He read that the Force moves through living creatures, so he doesn't know if it has anything to do with droids or not. He just knows that giving the shield tech to the Gatra feels like the right thing."
Genra turned her back to them and gazed out at the stars. The edges of one of the asteroids had rotated into view. It was just one asteroid, a speck of dust on the galaxy-wide scale. Yet it dwarfed the Red Nimbus.
"And what do you think, Kira?" she asked.
"I think it's impractical to make a big decision based on a feeling."
"I agree," the engineer said.
"But there are some practical reasons to keep that tech out of Kaldana hands."
"Oh?"
"Like Han said, if the Kaldana get it, the Corellia system becomes almost unflyable. They're already a major player there. With this technology, they will crush their competition and start spreading to other systems." Kira felt herself warming to the topic. The stakes were huge, so much bigger than anything she'd dealt with before. The consequences of this deal had the potential to reach galaxy-wide, and she was right in the middle of it. For better or worse, she had helped make this happen. For today, at least, she was a major player.
"Why give them the resources to take their operations galaxy-wide?" Kira continued. "Do you really want to upset the balance of power like that?"
"Maybe I do," Jenra said. "It might keep the Empire busy for a while. Off my back."
"I can't blame you for that," Kira said. "I mean, if I were you, I'd just want to survive." Han said,
"I really think you should give it to the droids."
"Me too,"
Sulu said, and Kira understood his words clear as day. Jenra turned to face them, her sapphire gown swishing at her heels. How many incredible gowns did she own?
"I made my decision hours ago. The Keldona ship will be here any moment. Lady Proxima assured me that the three of you would complete the exchange in person. After that, the Keldona will escort you safely back to Coronet City."
"Whoa," said Han. "The Keldona are coming here?"
"We're doing the exchange?" Kira said. Sulu protested too, but all Kira caught was the word for kill. He was a handy fellow to have around, because in spite of their broken communication, Sulu always managed to get her thinking. And right now, she was thinking that the engineer wanted to be rid of them after all. Her hospitality and kindness had been a ruse, maybe even her job offer. Jenra was not going to let them go, not really. She was washing her hands of them and sending them to the Keldona. Maybe the Keldona would let them live, but if they didn't, Jenra wasn't going to lose any sleep. Because she was at heart a betrayer. In the end, no one mattered to Jenra except Jenra. And people like Kira and Han and Sulu, they were assets and of limited value. It was as though the engineer had read her mind, because she said,
"Kira, my offer is still on the table. You have a place here on the Red Nimbus if you want it. The boys can handle the exchange."
So maybe the job offer wasn't a ruse. Everything in Kira screamed to accept. Avoid going to the Keldonan ship. She'd have food, beautiful clothes, something important to do. She'd live. Kira opened her mouth to say yes, but the word lodged in her throat. Finally, she managed, "I guess I'm still thinking about it." Jenra was about to say something else, but Han pointed toward the window.
"I think the Keldona ship is here," he said.
The ugliest starship Kira had ever seen glided into view. It was huge, easily three times the size of the Red Nimbus, with jagged protrusions and pointed attachments. Blaster burns scorched its side, and the pulse engine belched a plume of dirty gray exhaust.
"That thing is a beast," Han said, eyes wide. "It looks like they slapped the power converter on with just a few screws and some adhesive. And their pulse engine is burning hard fuel. A ship that size should have been retrofitted a long time ago."
"Bangam!"
Sulu barked something, gesturing angrily.
"Yeah, an abomination. I've never seen an ion flux stabilizer that looks like that before. How do they put together such a huge bid if they can't even afford proper ship maintenance and upgrades?"
"They sold their flagship," Jenra said, looking amused, "to help cover the cost of their bid. This is the junker they bought to replace it."
"Oh," Han breathed. "They really want that shield tech."
"In any case, grab all your belongings and prepare to board," Jenra ordered. "We'll be docking together via airlock in a moment."
They all looked at each other and shrugged. They'd come with nothing more than the clothes on their backs, and Sulu's data pad, and that was what they'd leave with. Kira eyed the bar, and all the platters of food laid wastefully across it. Too bad they couldn't take bucket loads of food with them. Han and Sulu were staring at her, and it took a moment for her to realize why. She still hadn't given Jenra an answer.
"Let's go," Kira said gruffly. "To the airlock."
Chapter 20.
So Kira was coming with them instead of staying behind? Why would she give up all this to go back to the sewers with Lady Proxima?
Han didn't understand it. But as they walked from the viewing lounge to the passenger dock, he was afraid to mention it, or even speak to her, in case she came to her senses and changed her mind.
A hollow clang sounded as the extending airlock tunnel hit the hull of the Red Nimbus. Magnets sealed it in place. Then air hissed while the pressure and atmosphere stabilized inside. The hatch opened before them. Genra produced the data cube and handed it to Kira.
I leave this in your care.
Su'ulo?
He stepped forward, and Kira handed him the cube.
You've carried it this far. Might as well go all the way.
Thank you,
he said solemnly.
She replied, You're welcome, before Han had a chance to translate.
This was it. The sign he'd been waiting for.
Kira was staying. She'd handed the cube to Su'ulo because she wouldn't be joining them on the Kaldana ship. He should be happy for her. She'd get off of Corellia, see the far reaches of the galaxy, and have a chance to use and develop her talents in ways he suspected he couldn't fully grasp. But he didn't like it. He couldn't say why exactly, just that he had a very bad feeling about Kira taking that job.
You're to hand it over, then wait for them to confirm the contents, Genra explained, primarily to Kira, but with one eye on Su'ulo. After that, they'll transfer money to both me and Lady Proxima. Once I've received the money, I'll transmit the encryption key. Then they'll escort you to a shuttle and fly you back down to Corellia. I don't know if the shuttle is equipped with a hyperdrive, so it might be a long journey. But you'll get home eventually.
That doesn't sound too complicated, Han said.
Su'ulo held the cube between his thumb and forefinger, staring at it. He was holding more than 1 billion credits worth of merchandise in his hand. Han wanted to remember this moment. The far end of the airlock hissed open, revealing a young woman in Kaldana black. Han was glad to note that her blaster remained holstered.
If he made it back to Corellia alive, he was going to acquire a blaster somehow. It wasn't fair that he kept showing up to gunfights armed with luck and charm.
Last chance, Kira, Genra said. They all looked at her.
Han's heart was in his throat. Kira couldn't keep the emotion from her face. Her brow was knit, her lips parted. Han tried to find a little sympathy, but couldn't. He wanted to scream at her not to stay on the Red Nimbus. He wanted to hit something. Finally, Su'ulo said in the softest voice Han had ever heard from him,
I will miss you, Kira, my friend.
Han didn't know if Kira understood, but she looked at Su'ulo, then at Han, and back to Su'ulo, who suddenly reached his arms out, drew her close, and embraced her soundly. Kira remained stiff in Su'ulo's arms for the space of a breath. Then, to Han's very great surprise, Kira hugged the little Rhodian right back. Then Kira extricated herself, turned to the engineer. Did Han imagine that her eyes were moist with tears?
I'm sorry, she said. I won't leave my friends.
Han felt all the air return to his lungs. But Genra shrugged like it was no big deal.
In that case, I wish you all the very best.
She turned to go, leaving them in the entrance to the airlock. Kira stepped forward, ready to be the first one through. Suddenly, Genra whirled back around, gripped Kira by the shoulders, and pulled her close to whisper something in her ear. Kira's eyes narrowed thoughtfully. The engineer stepped away, but their gazes remained locked. Kira nodded some kind of understanding. Then Genra disappeared into the bowels of her yacht, and a voice behind them said,
Come on! We haven't got all day!
The three of them stepped through the airlock.
This way, the Kaldana woman said. Everyone's waiting for you in the conference room.
The insides of the Kaldana ship were as ugly as the outsides. The corridors were small and crowded with cargo boxes, tools, gear, even a few sleeping pallets. The lights flickered on and off,
indicative of an engine problem. Kira's eyes took in everything, as though memorizing it all. She was concentrating so hard she almost tripped over a sleeping pallet. Or maybe she had just pretended to trip, because it brought the two of them head to head. Han grabbed the sleeve of her jacket. He whispered,
"What did Genra say to you back there?"
Kira yanked Saulo close. Talking fast and low, she said, "We need to escape from this ship as soon as possible. Once the exchange is made, Genra thinks we should run for it."
"Bingade,"
Saulo swore.
"She thinks the Caldana will kill us?"
Han whispered back.
"Probably," Kira said. "She gave me one of those gas bomb thingies. It's in my pocket."
"But we have no breather masks this time,"
Han pointed out.
"Nope."
"We need an escape route."
"Hey, enough with the committee," the Caldana woman barked. "Are we doing this exchange or not?"
Kira moved to follow her, saying under her breath, "Help me memorize the layout. Keep an eye out for decent cover. And escape pods."
"I remember seeing a jettison hatch from the viewing window," Han said. "It was aft, near the pulse engine."
"That's a terrible place for an escape pod," Saulo said.
"The worst."
"Oh, I know exactly where it is,"
Kira blurted, a little too loud.
"Are you sure?"
"Have I ever let you down?"
As they hurried down the cluttered corridor, Han considered that finding an escape pod might be the easy part. Their bigger problem was that, given the way this ship was maintained, there was a chance the pod hadn't been serviced in years. It might not work at all. The Caldana woman led them through a branching corridor, up in a lift, and to a doorway. The door no longer functioned. It was covered with a thick red velvet curtain that was blotchy and stained with something Han preferred not to know about. She swept up the curtain and ushered them inside. The conference room was actually a small hold with a high ceiling, a freight lift, and a grease-stained floor studded with bolts for lashing down cargo. But instead of cargo, the hold was filled with cheap furniture, a few ratty couches, two armchairs, some scattered tables, all secured to the floor with cargo straps. Caldana Syndicate thugs were everywhere, lounging with their boots up, sipping Corellian ale. One group off to the side was playing a version of Sabacc that used a couple of dice. Han almost liked this room. A fellow could relax in a place like this, put his feet up. But if he ever got a ship of his own, he'd keep it clean, in tip-top shape. No ale spills, no gear scattered in the corridors, and definitely no bulkheads replaced by curtains. Han would take care of his ship, treat it with the respect it deserved. A man rose from the couch. Like the rest, he wore all black, except for the Caldana triangle on his upper arm. His long black hair was pulled back into a queue, and gold studs shone from piercings in his ears and nostrils.
"Why'd you bring that on board my ship?"
he said, glaring at Saulo. Everyone else in the hold was staring at them. A few hands twitched toward their holstered blasters. Han instinctively shifted a little closer to his friend, noting that Kira did the same.
"There's a problem?" Kira said.
"Aliens are always a problem," the captain said. "Especially Rhodians. Those little slime balls are the scourge of the galaxy. Can't do honest business anymore without ending up with a Rhodian bounty hunter on your tail."
Saulo muttered darkly, something about wishing poisoned bowels upon the Caldana and all their spawn for 100 generations.
"What?" the captain demanded. "What did it say?"
"He said we should get on with our business," Kira said.
Come to think of it, Han had yet to see a Caldana thug who wasn't human. That explained a lot. No wonder the Caldana were going to such lengths to keep Genra's shield tech out of the hands of the droid Gatra. They hated anything and anyone who wasn't human.
"You have the cube?" the captain asked.
"You have the credit transfer ready?"
Kira asked.
"I do."
"Then we do too."
She turned.
"Saulo?"
He pulled the data cube from his pocket, but had barely begun to offer it before the captain dashed forward and snatched it from his fingers. The captain handed it off to one of his thugs, who plugged it into a data pad. Holographic lines and flowing text filled the air.